Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome to the Love Story Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Green, where we are capturing the magic of every love story. Thank you guys for being on the Love Story Podcast. Smooshed together on the love couch, we have Lisa and Chad. So Lisa and Chad, introduce yourselves better than I just did.
Wow, can I do that? Is that possible?
Probably.
I can't. I'm Lisa.
To my left is Lisa Stoffel, the better half of a wonderful dynamic duo. I'm Chad Gretsch.
Yeah, that was better than what I did. Okay, perfect. Let's go back to the beginning, you two. So I know you guys through Chamber stuff and through being customers first, actually. Mm-hmm. Customers of the store, you came in and relinquished a lot of plants to me at one point before you guys downsized and hit the road.
It's still traumatic.
I completely understand. Yes, but a lot of them went to very good and loving homes.
Well, I steal one from here, so.
He's over there recovering.
Recovering, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was how we met. How did you guys meet? How long have you known each other for?
That's a good question.
A little over 15 years.
Yeah.
We met in the JCs, which is...
Junior Chamber International. It's a leadership development organization for young adults from the ages of 18 to 40. Click. Oh.
So at that point, you qualified for JCs Young Adults 18 to 40.
Yeah, we're over that now.
Okay.
There's so the geriatric wing of the organization.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Rotary and Rotaract. It's kind of the same thing. So what were you involved in that for? Did someone sponsor you? Were you you were like, this is what I want to do myself?
I was not sponsored. I just wanted to do it. The Mankato JCs needed a website. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can do that for you. And so I joined on and then immediately became their president.
Oh, sounds like an overthrow situation.
No, actually it wasn't. It was new blood. Here, be this.
I think you found there's a period in time when those civic organizations of that age group were, they'd have a core group, and as they got older and older, they realized their time was ticking and they need to refill. They need to refill fast. That's kind of what happened for me. I was a member for a few months and then I was de facto president for the next year and a half. So.
Sure. So did you join at about the same time?
I joined in 2004.
Okay.
And I joined in the end of 2011. When did we meet then?
Well, I was a state vice president in 2009, 2010. Ooh. When you're in the organization long enough, they will promote you up to the level of failure.
Okay. No, that sounds about right.
It's true. It's like the military.
Yeah.
I think it was about 2000, right about that, 2011. I think you might have been close to a first timer when I was still a program manager.
Yes.
So you saw each other from across the room and were like, who is that?
No. Actually, a mutual friend said, here, I have to walk in the parade. You babysit her.
Oh, yeah.
Basically. Like, here, I have to walk in the parade. Can she sit with you?
Yeah.
Introduce me to Chad. And
I would often get newcomers to the organization because they've been around for a long time and I'm fairly approachable.
Sure.
And gosh darn it, people like me.
Yeah.
And so I had built a lot of good friends out of that organization and Lisa was one.
Okay. So you became friends. You're sitting chit-chatting and the whole thing. What's life like personally for you guys at that time?
Well, I was married to someone else.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that's the direction you're looking for on that.
No, just like where, like you're like professionally and personally. Yeah. Just kind of like, what's life like? Lisa, were you single?
I was not, actually.
Oh, okay. So then truly it wasn't, who is that guy? It was just like, all right, I'm being
that.
Okay.
Right. I had a boyfriend. I think I was dating somebody for about 2 years by then.
Okay.
Would have been about 2010, 2011.
Yeah. Well, if you want 15 years, it's got to say 2010.
So actually I was like 3 years into a relationship.
Sure.
And my son would have been, help me do the math.
What year?
95.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so it's 2025. He'd be 30.
No, not now. Later this year. 2011.
In 2011? Oh, okay. 16.
16. Oh, yeah.
Easy math.
I was president of the JCs in that year. And then Chad, tying this all together, was around for when I do JC road trips.
Okay.
And
it's encouraged to visit other chapters throughout the state and supposed to just work on your own, because no one learns, grows, and develops skills by operating in a vacuum. Yeah. You go see these other chapters and you get to go out and you like take their idea, bring home, and do it in your own town.
So I'd go on road runs, and more than once I'd crash on his couch.
Sure.
And
we were right here in central Minnesota. If you're going north or south and you need to take a 2-hour power nap, the couch is calling. And she's not the only one that took the opportunity.
And then we'd go out like as friends. We'd go hang out in St. Cloud every now and again.
And then there's Jerry Merman.
Yes.
What's that?
I created a Facebook, like started out as an event, and I found a merman from He-Man that my parents had lost underneath their racking in their garage.
An action figure.
The actual action figure. Okay. And so I decided one day, I had the whole night off, and I went around like I was going out with Jerry Merman, doing all these outlandish things. And you can still see the Facebook page out there.
Sure.
And it had its moment. It took off and it was real quick, but it's like the worst behavior of a, let's just classify somebody, a frat boy, worst behavior you could ever imagine. I basically put that towards Jerry Merman, and I went out drinking with him and all sorts of things. Like, he stole my phone one night and he's out partying with at MC's dugout at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was like, dude, where's my phone?
Yeah.
But so we went Jerry Mermaning one night.
Okay. Up to some shenanigans hanging out.
Yes.
Okay. And so at what point did this relationship tip from being like a friendly relationship into like, oh, actually we are like made for each other?
Well, it had a long evolution, actually. Not long in time, but my 40th birthday, I invited...
You're getting kicked out of the JCs. Like, this is the day that they're like, we're giving you the boot.
Done.
Yep.
Yeah. No, so for my 40th birthday, I wanted to have a party, and I invited Chad down, and it was 2016. He was going through some stuff, and he did come down, drove down to Mankato from St. Cloud, and spent a good portion of the day with me. And my same boyfriend that I had had since 2008 didn't
come to your birthday.
Yeah.
No, he came early. He stopped for 5 minutes. And I was in the kitchen cooking food.
It is integral to a birthday party.
It is.
So Chad's in cooking food. Your 8-year-long relationship boyfriend is like, this is boring. I'm out of here.
Yeah, he's like, I have a meeting in the cities. I'll see you.
And 40th, it's not like it's like your 42nd birthday. It's like it's kind of a big one.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought it was.
Yeah. Enough to have a party for yourself that your own boyfriend was like, eh, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly what happened.
Cool. So your heart broke a little, or were you like, this is par for the course with this guy?
Yeah. It was par for the course.
Okay. So how long into your 40th year did this man make it?
A couple weeks.
13 days.
Yep. And then you were like, yeah, we're done.
Yeah. On the 8th of June, there was some paperwork signed. And then on the 16th of June, there was a little light switch that flipped. We started hanging out.
Okay.
And I will gladly tell this part of the story.
Okay.
Because I absolutely know no one, there's no way there'll be ever any fallout from me telling this story. Ever. But my ex-wife, who was still married to me at the beginning of 2016, decided that her heart moved in a different direction. And she was called to someone else that she'd known her entire life from her small town. She decided that she wanted to end a relationship. We had 2 children together. She wanted to move on. And I let her, because by that time I had felt very shattered from the experience of having 17, 18 years of my life and dedication to one person, and find that they really didn't want to put the work in anymore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they chose to go their direction. That's fine. But I would not, could not violate the contractual bond I made when I married her until after the paper was finalized. Mm-hmm. But I went to this woman's 40th birthday party, and this was actually after your actual birthday. And I went there, and it was the first time that I had a posse of people when I was going through a divorce. I had a woman who was married and stayed married her entire life and fought through everything with her husband. I had a woman who had been divorced, went a different direction because I wanted that female perspective. Mm-hmm. And then I had a woman who had never been married. Mm-hmm. Who gave me wonderful insight.
He'd assembled an advisory council.
Yeah, I felt it was necessary because I hadn't walked alone for a long time. And so I wanted to talk to people, especially, like I said, that female voice. I wanted to hear what it was like on the other side of the fence, as it were, whatever you want to call it.
So what would be the three takeaways, the three takeaway perspectives that you got as you were like talking to your counsel?
Three takeaways. I wasn't prepared for that one. No, I think what I got was everyone pretty much agreed that she had given up mm-hmm. on a relationship long before it actually came, but before my birthday, mm-hmm. April 13th, 2016, that she announced she wanted to divorce.
On your birthday?
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Happy birthday and all that good stuff wrapped it down. But I mean, the point is, I'm not bitter. I'm really not. They all pretty much said, you know, you can do better at finding a better partner. Mm-hmm. And the biggest, most impactful thing that really helped me feeling walking away as a shattered sort of, you know, I had no self-value anymore. Right. I lost all of my self-value because I felt the one person in my life who would always find value in me was my spouse. Mm-hmm. And this woman right here, she said to me, she's like, literally I announced to her that she was going for a divorce. And the one thing she said was, she's an idiot. And she said it so definitively, so profoundly, it like stopped. It stopped the self hurt in my mind of like, you know, falling apart.
Right.
And I use that almost as a sounding board, something I could say over and over again in my head. And it really enlivened me and really pulled me forward.
Exactly. As you said, this is supposed to be the person who's going to like be there for me through whatever scenario, dig deep and find something. And she's not doing it. So then to hear from an outside perspective that it's just like, oh, God, OK, she's an idiot. Then it's like, oh, maybe I don't have to hate myself, or maybe I don't have to like continue to like beat myself up over what did I do wrong or what didn't I do well enough. It was just a falling apart of a thing,
yeah,
which is fine sometimes.
Yep. And you know, you still, but no matter what, it's so hard not to look at things that are unsuccessful in your life that you do without the veneer of failure and mm-hmm. feeling like there's a failure. And it wasn't really a failure. We made two wonderful children mm-hmm. who I love dearly every day. And I love to, you know, see them, and I see their mother in them too. And I think they're fine and wonderful children, mm-hmm. but I can't imagine fighting that hard for that relationship with that person ever again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Lisa has been like the perfect, no metaphors involved here, key to my lock, you know, or lock to my key, or we were puzzle pieces that fit together so well. Like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine that I'm not compromising. It's like, she is such a wonderful piece mm-hmm. that fits my piece. And that is glorious.
I love that. Okay. So then for you, where you are like, Lisa, in your situation where you're like, okay, so this person is going through divorce. Did you realize when you said she's an idiot that this was, did you realize you were saying something profound?
No, I was just speaking the truth at that point. This man does it all. And how and why you would give that up is just beyond me.
Mm-hmm. And so then that all, okay, fine. That fell apart. Your thing fell apart. Or no, I wouldn't necessarily fell apart. You were no longer walking the same path with either person that you were with. And so then you turned towards each other and you were like, huh, maybe we should give this a go. Was it an official, like a date proposal, or was it like you just kind of slid into doing life together?
We did some dating, road running of our own back and forth for a couple months. We didn't actually officially start dating until August.
Okay.
But it started in earnest around June 16th, was it?
So we started hanging out, spending time together in June. And he was up in Staples. So it's 3.5 hours from Mankato. That's a long way. And so We had to figure out the mileage quite a bit and did a lot of road time.
We did a lot of 50-50 as well because we have a cottage in Annandale. That's where we live now. That was my family's cabin for a long time. So it made it almost a perfect 50-50 drive if we wanted to spend time together. But my children at that time were 12 and 10. And so I really wanted to protect them from, you know, my dating activities because I wanted to make sure that they were ready to accept a new partner in my life. And I know their mother had already accepted the new partner and was living with him. But I wanted to, I always had to take the moral high ground. I always felt like I could not be with somebody until after I was officially divorced. I could not be with somebody in front of my children until I was officially seeing them.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Green Thumb Etc., home of custom furniture upholstery, designer floral, and exclusive giftware. Do you need to find a gift for that crazy aunt that has everything? You'll find it at Green Thumb. Do you have grandma's old chair that nobody wants anymore, but you just don't have a heart to throw away? I can upholster it for you. Or do you need flowers for someone to say, I'm sorry, or to say, I love you? You can find that here too. Come on down to the corner of 7th and St. Germain in downtown St. Cloud, and you can shop to your weirdo heart's content. Find us online at greenthumbetc.com. Or Facebook or Instagram at Green Thumb Etc. At this point, you're already familiar with the way the Love Story podcast operates. However, there are some stories that can't be told on the Love Story that need to be told after dark. So we started Love Story After Dark, a podcast on Patreon. There's all sorts of bonus content that you can find on Patreon, audio, video, special swag, all kinds of stuff. So if you're looking at just wanting to get the audio of the Love Story After Dark, that's $5 a month. If you want to get audio and video, $10 a month. If you want to be a part of the sticker club and get exclusive sticker swag, that's $25 a month. And for $50 a month, you can get the elite bonus merch. However, you don't have to pay any money to just get exclusive clips from any of our After Dark episodes. Get yourself added to the email list so you can get notifications for when new content drops for the Love Story podcast After Dark. So then between the two of you, you have three kids. Okay. So then how was all of that like integrating into each other's lives? How did that all go?
My son was an adult. So
yeah. So you were just like, uninterrupted in children, like little kids. Yeah. Okay.
And they weren't little, but he was in Washington State by then. I don't even know the first time he met them, actually.
Yeah.
It was a little while.
Definitely before the wedding.
Was it?
It was before the wedding.
Okay. Yeah.
It was at the cabin.
So then when you met Chad's kids, how did that go?
Well, I met him when we were friends.
Oh, I suppose. Yeah. So it would have been. Yeah.
Yeah. So she probably slept on the couch while the kids came in, sat down on the booger chair and watched cartoons.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds about right. Were they excited when they found out that you and Lisa were dating?
That was interesting because what it is to give them a segue relationship with Lisa, I had them call her John Cena.
He called me John Cena. So tell
me about the flowers.
No, the guess who's coming to dinner.
I said, I said, guess who's coming to dinner? My son's like, John Cena? I'm like, that's perfect.
Yeah.
John Cena's come to dinner.
And so they're sitting there like, okay, who's coming to dinner?
Yeah.
And in walks me.
Yeah.
And like, so they called me John Cena for a year.
My kids have a good sense of humor. So I'm sure that was definitely a soft way to introduce.
Yeah.
And it took the edge off of like, I certainly don't have to be mom. I'm not, you know, not like stepmom. I'm not like anything weird. Like, I'm John Cena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dad's dating John Cena.
Yeah.
It's totally chill.
I wonder if this ever gets back to John Cena, he's going to appreciate that.
Yes, yes. That he was the interim, your interim partner. So who dropped the L-bomb first? Do you remember?
I think it was probably me.
I don't remember.
I kept moving all of the sticks forward. I was like, because we were essentially friends with benefits at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was seeing other people and I was like, I think I'm going to stop seeing other people in case this goes somewhere. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh. I was like,
That's a commitment.
Right. And then I was like,
you mean besides you hauling up to Staples?
I think I'm going to move to Staples. And he's like, Oh.
At what point was this happening?
And you say, oh, like I'm averse. I was just surprised that anybody would be willing to make that kind of a commitment to being near me that quickly.
I feel
like
I read it in probably in August because I did it in September.
Yeah. And I mean, look at how much money you're saving, not driving and doing all of that. So did you have like a house that you had to sell or anything? Or was it just like, I'm just going to go pack up and rent up?
No, I just left it. I left my son, like I let him move in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just moved out.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's already there. Yeah. So I just moved out.
Yeah.
And I rented it to him. And I had a roommate. That's what it was. So I already had a roommate. So I just moved out. And then I asked my son if he wanted to move in to like the top half. I just kept it. And then so I got an apartment in Staples. Never stayed there a single night.
Yeah. Not a single night. But she put some furniture in there to make it feel like there was her apartment.
There was intent.
Yeah. How long did you have the apartment for?
2 or 3 months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So you just, you're like your shell.
It was just your shell in case.
Yeah.
It was, it was a backup. I might have had it longer. I feel like February is something, but I had a 6 month lease, but I think I had it maybe 3 or 4 months. And I only got out of like 2 months.
Sure.
But yeah, never stayed there once. And
it smelled kind of funny. So I'm glad we didn't.
Yeah. But we had already said, I love you. Well before then, but we have started officially dating.
You don't move
dating.
To Staples unless you love someone.
Right.
So,
we started officially dating in August on the 6th. And then I moved up there Labor Day weekend. And the rest is kind of history at that point.
At what point did you guys move in together? Probably within a couple of months then after that,
Well, September.
Yeah, basically.
Because I got the apartment but never slept in it.
So then how was the conversation when you were like, okay, so this is stupid that I have an apartment. I'm just going to officially move into your house.
It wasn't even officially move in. It was like, obviously I'm here.
Right.
I don't really need to pay rent anymore.
Yeah. I may have suggested, I'm like, why are you still paying for rent?
Yeah.
Sleep there.
Should see if we can get out of that lease.
Because this is silly. Yeah. So then this would have been 2016, 17. So then what's kind of this like, what's the life like as you're settling into Staples and all of that? How is everything going?
It was a challenge for me because my previous boyfriend was a narcissist and on the side of like verbally, mentally abusive. And so I had a lot of triggers.
Yeah.
And so I had a lot of things that I had to work through also. That's pretty much the long and the short of it. I had a lot of things I had to work through. So I was very emotional for the first couple of years.
I think that there's that whole, I think the dynamic, the fresh young love that has the energy to it. But in order to develop a long lasting love, you really need to conquer all of your demons together and you need to work on it. I had my own too. I felt like this is the time and this is the place and we own a house here and I've got a job and she's got a job and we're trying to figure things out, but we're trying to build the foundations of a high quality relationship, the relationship that both of us always deserved.
If you're in an unhealthy relationship or if you're off doing your own thing, it is very much that of just like, kind of who cares? You can live in the filth of your own mind, whatever, you've been doing it your whole life. But then when somebody else comes along and they're like, can we take down some of these cobwebs? It's like, oh, all right, I guess I didn't even see those there. So yeah, you just start turning towards each other, working towards each other. And I do think that like having that catalyst of having another person coming in and being like, you know what, actually, this is maybe something about you that you realize in yourself or somebody kind of shows you that it's like there's a better, easier way to be, then the truly rebuilding does start happening. And people do it in a variety of different ways, right? There's people who do it in therapy. There's people who do it just like choosing to do it on their own or friends or whatever. But yeah, there's nothing to be discredited at all about working on yourself while you are choosing to work on a relationship too.
I was going to say, I think it's very beneficial if both people are embracive of the changes they want to see in their own lives and having that fresh perspective of someone on the other side who can give you input that you really trust and respect. And that helps move everything so much quicker and much more fundamentally.
This is what I love about all of these stories too, is you just kind of get different perspectives and different people's timelines, and there is no one right timeline or one right way of doing it. So how fortunate that you guys found each other at kind of the perfect, sensitive, like bruised peach version of your lives to come together and make this little peach pie. So you guys are doing life together, working on yourselves, working on each other, working on the relationship, and everything is just peachy keen, smooth sailing until you found yourself in St. Cloud living here doing this? Or what happened? What's the story?
Well, the plan was always we were only going to spend 8 years in Staples.
Okay.
Because I wanted, while the kids were in school, I wanted to live in the same proximity as their mother so that there was never going to be any issue about the kids getting back and forth between the two houses. We co-parented. So there was, you know, 50-50 and we had a system. And it was good for the kids to have that stability. But from day one, I told the kids and I told Lisa, I said, 8 years. Mm-hmm. And I think we lasted 7 years and 9 months.
You know, ooh, like almost. That.
So we almost made it, but they knew it was coming. It was a big surprise. And so, yeah, that was, we were ready for it. We've been planning our whole time together to do the things we're doing now. We just had to wait 8 years to do it.
Okay. So that would have been when you guys found yourself in St. Cloud. That was it? Like you moved from Staples to St. Cloud?
Last spring, we moved down to Annandale. And lived at the cabin. We've been remodeling it for 2 years to get it ready for life.
Yeah.
For the time that we live there from May to October.
Sure.
And I've been in St. Cloud most of my adult life. I've got friends that are like had for 30 years that live here. And it's a wonderful, you know, it's a wonderful community to be in. I think there is a supportive community that supports me and the things I believe. And I think it works really well.
So, Lisa, you had lived in Mankato and then Staples and then now Annandale. So for your life to have been able to just kind of move around like that, what were you doing for a career? Is it similar to what you're doing now?
No, I've had a ridiculous amount of different jobs, runs the gamut, like no one kind of thing. So it was like, well, I can get a job anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
She's a Swiss Army knife. She can do anything and everything.
Yeah. So then that's another part of your guys' love story. It's not just did you found a relationship that you're building together, but you also now you have a marketing company together, Nuts and Bolts Marketing. So when did that come up in your life together?
In 2023, I had been working as a wholesale produce buyer and was very unhappy. And we had gotten past some milestones as a family. Things post-COVID were just not great. And I didn't want to go back into the office. And they were leaning towards that way. I was crying more and more due to my job. And I finally just said, okay, can I please quit? Please.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, those milestones had been hit with our family. So he's like, yeah, that's fine. And so I gave 3 weeks notice, I think it was, or a month's notice. And they walked me out the door that afternoon.
Yeah. Yep.
And so I found myself with a little bit of cushion to go, okay, what am I going to do now? I've got 3 weeks where I can sit and figure it out.
And you're getting paid, so it's...
Right. And I decided I didn't want to work for someone else. I didn't want to go back into an office. And I did want to build more websites. So, and I've been doing this for 10 to 15 years. So I was like...
I think officially the website says 15 years. So you might stick to that.
We would hate to make a liar out of you on our podcast.
So I said, let's do this.
And you did it on your own or did you guys do it together?
I did it on my own. And then I said, hey, will you help me? And he's like, yeah, I'll help you. I'm doing my thing. You do your thing.
Yeah.
And so it was, he was there for like input and things like that. But it didn't start out as like a joint venture until like last year.
Sure. So. Okay. And you quit doing what you were doing to join on to the Nuts and Bolts team?
Well... Gosh, my whole life has been littered with all these wonderfully diverse, creative employment opportunities, whether it was hosting trivia or as a design engineer, figuring out how to make the widget or whatever. I just, and so this is, heck yeah, if I can get involved in something, I can use my creative juices, make YouTube channels or websites or graphics or whatever. That's, yeah, I can do websites. But I'm not as good as she is. She's very good at that technical end of things. And for me, I'm just the dancing bear and the creative guy that comes up. I think this idea works. And she looks at me like, okay, now make it work. Mm-hmm. Figure out how it's going to work. I'm like, okay, let's do that.
Yeah, because that's not the only thing that you guys do together, too. You had kind of said that you live in Annandale. What did you say? May to December or whatever? What is the other thing that you guys do together?
Oh, we travel.
Yes.
Yeah.
And make that kind of a little fun little... what did you call it? A side gig?
Yeah, side gig. It's a business, a side hustle. Yeah. Everybody has to have one.
Yes.
But yeah, we do travel. We travel the world. We spent 4.5 months this last winter. And it's kind of fun. It's fun working with her. It's fun living with her. And then do it 24 hours a day. And we still absolutely do not run out of time for each other. It's a great adventure. But when we got together, this backs into the story, is basically we got together. I said, this is what I'm going to be. I'm 8 years here and I love traveling the world. I want to travel. And she said, hey, I like that plan. That's my plan too. Let's do that. So we pretty much set that as our goal, our intention. When we hit the 8 years and sell the house, that we'd live in the cabin during the summer months and then we would travel all winter long. Mm-hmm. So we have this YouTube channel. Yay. Is this where I insert a plug?
Yes, of course.
No destination necessary, where we travel the world and it's like a vlog. It's a cross between a vlog and a Rick Steves video. You get a little bit of the history, but it's supposed to be all respectful of the places we go because every culture has its own unique way of doing things. And I am not the one to tell them that it's right or wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm just there to experience it as a traveler.
Yeah.
And Lisa too. And that's what we do. So we spend winter months this last year, but we may just be expanding that pretty soon.
Yeah. How did that come up? Whose idea was it to say, hey, let's do a YouTube channel?
Was it yours?
Our main reason was, is we wanted to document our adventure so that when we're old and can't remember what we did anymore, we can go watch our own video and go, oh yeah, I remember that.
Kind of what a fun reason for doing it, to just like, I want to go see the highlight reel of our life. So let's just turn on our YouTube channel and watch Chad and Lisa TV. That's so fun. Okay. So what was highlights from your winter travels? What was your highlight, Lisa? And what was Chad? What was your highlight?
My favorite place was Antibes, France. I didn't even want to go to France because it's like, it's so like cliche.
As my daughter has said, it's smelly and boring.
France is like, everybody loves France. Mm-hmm. Like I just like, whatever. Everybody loves France. I don't care.
Yeah. And now you're one of the everybody.
Love France. Oh my God.
There's a reason. Yeah. There's a reason why people love France. The south of France is lovely, right along the Mediterranean.
So what was the, what you said, Antibes?
Antibes.
So what did you do there that you were just like, God, I love this place?
Walked to the boulangerie every morning, talked with all of the people in the market and all of the shops that I'd go to, the little cobblestone streets that you can't drive down, and everybody would say hello and
bonjour, probably.
Yes. It, we're in Old Town, so it was just a lovely little community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. That was your highlight. Chad, what was your highlight?
Well, I really, honestly, I am a learner explorer and I love talking to all the different people from all the different cultures. And so for me, I had to settle down on one thing because this is a question that gets asked us all the time.
Sure.
Where's your favorite place you went to this last year? So I made a video about it, why I fell in love with Tallinn, Estonia. It is the capital of Estonia. It is one of the Baltic states up there, and it's a lovely country. Old Town, once again, we always like to stay in the old towns. The old town has some of the most preserved medieval walls in all of Europe. And the character, the melting pot of the city, the feel, it had the best winter market we saw anywhere.
Okay.
We filmed like 3 tasting videos before we split, tasting our way from No Destination Necessary into 2 channels. But we did like 3 tasting videos there because so much food and culture and spirit and energy in it. So I just love that.
Mm-hmm. So of the places that you've gone, are those like, if someone is just like, hey, I want to go travel somewhere, would those be the places that you would be like, oh yeah, start here? Or would you say like, oh no, you got to like, is there like a build your way into going to like the south of France or whatever? Like what's kind of the beginner's level Europe traveling destination that you would say?
And like all things, I love listening to people and hearing their stories and understanding them better. Mm-hmm. Before I could even broach to tell anybody where to go, I need to know who they are.
Yeah.
Because there's the Parises of the world, and there's the Antibes. And those are 2 very different creatures. Or if you want a more of a small town city charm, you go to Kilkenny. If you want a bustling big city, you go to Dublin. It's a completely different feel. And Cork and Waterford and Dunmore East, wherever you end up finding yourself in Ireland, has a different vibe altogether.
Okay.
And so you want to, I feel like it's a marriage of, you know, desire and expectation and how to pull those together. So I'm really very analytical about that.
Okay.
I wouldn't go, just go here, because I don't want you to experience it and go, this is sucks.
This is not what I wanted. I don't want to go to the Space Needle when I go to Seattle. I want to go to where grunge music happened.
Truth.
Yeah, those are two different things.
Not only that, but wouldn't tell you to go to Seattle if you're a Portland person.
Okay. Well, I like that you guys are, you're kind of traveling experts over here. Like, you've got a whole, it's not just a, like, you're not traveling snobs. You're like, let's make something happen. Okay. So we've got your highlights for travel. This is the question that I always ask my kids too, and they absolutely hated it. At the end of every day, they get back from school and we'd be sitting at the table and I was like, okay, I need a highlight and I need a low light of your day. And they were just like, oh, my highlight is that the day is over and my low light is this moment right now. And it was like the same thing over and over again. They hated it, but it's my favorite. So highlights from the relationship that you guys have had that you've shared over the last 15 or so years. If you can't think of just one, give me a couple of highlights.
We choose each other every single day, verbally.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first thing we do when we wake up in the morning. We look at each other and we say, I choose you. And a lot of times we say it exactly at the exact same time.
I did know that Chad had stopped in to kind of get some more information about what we were actually going to be doing here for the podcast. And he kind of had a little bit of a, like, a word vomit of, like, how much he loves Lisa. And it was like, I was like, okay, well, let's save this for the podcast, Chad. This is exactly what we want. But that is exactly what he said. Because there's the adage, too, of the, like, you know, don't go to bed mad or whatever. And it's like, okay, but sometimes you do, you know.
Yeah. And yeah, that we don't go by that at all. Sometimes we need to just stop what we're doing, go to sleep, and reboot our brains.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not working. That, like, going to bed will reset everything. And so that not going to bed mad, that is not a thing for us.
A long nap has a healing thing.
Yeah.
And the brain, human brain needs to reboot. And so there's a perfect example of, like, okay, and but we are conscious of it. We're like, you know what? I love you. I need to rest on this. I still love you. And I always say, I will choose you again tomorrow morning, but I need to distance myself from whatever conflict is going on because I need to reboot that.
Yeah. So how did that begin?
That's a good question.
I don't know who started it, but it came from a show called You're the Worst.
Okay.
And they're completely dysfunctional. But the takeaway from the entire show is that they are not going to get married. They are going to simply choose each other every single day until they don't anymore.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we're going to do, but we're married.
Right.
Yeah, but we started that out, actually. It was from that show. And what we did was we said, no expectations, no demands, no commitments past one day. And every day we wake up and we choose each other. And, you know, we never thought that there would be a day we wouldn't wake up and choose each other. But yet on the same end, we didn't want to put that kind of weight upon the relationship.
Right.
Especially as we were dating. Right. So it felt like, you know what? This is a very good way for us to consciously approach our relationship every day. And we still do it every day because
and
it's
be purposeful.
So
effective.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very purposeful.
You're setting your intention. It is exactly everything that, like, you think about with, like, meditation and all of that kind of stuff where it's like, okay, what are you manifesting today? What are you whatever? And what a, like, I don't know that you guys maybe even set out with the intention of this being like a brilliant little thing, but it is that, like, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Mm-hmm. How do you do a 50-year marriage? You do it one day at a time. You wake up every day and you choose your partner today. And when you look at it that way, if you think about in the complex structure of time, right? I'm choosing someone over a year, over 50 years or whatever. That does feel so huge. And then it's so big and there's so much space to make little mistakes that turn into maybe a lifestyle that turns into a resentment that turns into something else. But instead, if every day you're saying I've got 24 hours, half of it I'm going to be asleep and the other, you know, maybe a chunk of the day I'm not even going to be around you. But if you can trust that I'm choosing you today and in the time that I'm not around you, I'm going to be making choices that I'm going to be acting in a way that still chooses you.
Right.
And that's all you're doing. Why wouldn't you choose someone tomorrow that you chose today? Because what's the difference from today to yesterday to tomorrow? Nothing. But the difference from today and a year from now today, we're going to be very different people.
Right. That is a good way to look at it. And the other piece of it is love is an action, not
mm-hmm.
a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's a choice.
Yeah.
It is absolutely a choice.
Yeah. To maintain love over a long period of time, it's a dynamic, active process. And you have to mm-hmm. always embrace it every day. Every day you have to just know that you love them. You can't just, like, assume, ever,
right.
ever assume.
Yeah. And I think the thing about it, because our life is just one big journey of just experiences mashed together and whatever. And if you were to say like, oh, I would have taken out the fact that like I got a divorce, or I would have taken out this 8-year relationship with a narcissist or whatever, you take that out. And then what fills in the, in something would have to fill that space in. And so you wouldn't be where you are today.
Right.
And so the takeaway, the reason why you guys had the relationships and the experiences that you had have all culminated into this little wisdom of like, yep, I did a relationship with someone that all of a sudden a decade went by or whatever, but that led you to now you're in a relationship with someone that you genuinely care about. Now you're actively every single day, actively choosing, and you learned a little bit more about love that then the only thing that we exist in this world for, you're not going to put your brain in a jar and download it into the cloud or whatever at the end of it. The only thing that you can do is share your takeaways with people. And what a beautiful takeaway to share with people. Thank you for doing the 15 years of a relationship on top of the relationships that you had, you know, walked away from in the past, to then have that one little thing to say, this is the beauty that we've created together and what we want to share with the world.
You know, we've talked about like if we would have gotten together sooner, it may not have worked out, mm-hmm. because both of us, our mutual experiences have made us who we are, made us the pieces that fit together perfectly together now.
I love that, you guys. Thank you so much. It's the little things of getting to know each other and to have known you for the, you know, handful of months that we've crossed paths since you guys moved down to Annandale and whatever. Thank you for sharing your story. This, what a beautiful
Thank you.
Story.
Thank
yes,
you.
Of course. I love that you guys love each other, and I love that you guys have figured it out, figured out the sauce.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you guys. We'll end there. We'll wrap on this little bubble of love.
And for a love podcast, that seems like the best bubble. To
yeah.
It
up. Yeah. Yeah. I'd hate it if you guys started fighting and then we just, you know, okay, well, time's up. Thank you for listening to the Love Story Podcast. You can subscribe to the show and you can follow us at the Love Story Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Do you think you have a love story for the ages? Do you think you have a love story that's like a meet cute? Or maybe you just have a regular old love story, but you guys have been together for so long that you don't even remember how you met. We would love to have you on the Love Story Podcast to tell your story. Every love story is unique. Every love story is special. And whether you think you've got a cool story, a funny story, or just a heartwarming story, or just a story of the everyday regular old love, that's the kind of stuff we want to hear. Reach out at info@lovestoryweddingshow.com and we will schedule a time to get you featured on the Love Couch. If you're not local, we have the capabilities of doing it digitally as well. So don't forget to reach out info@lovestoryweddingshow.com or head to the show notes.